Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, chill show tonight. I didn't have much time to look at the news, so I decided to do an Ask Me Anything because too much work on my shoulders, too much excitement over the markets, people wanting to get rid of their Bitcoin. Papa JF is there to collect. How are you doing, people? Go away, says, don't tell me what to do. He says this to Valet, who was saying, all guests must press fire before airing their unsolicited, uneducated opinions in the chat. Do this now and go away, the troll of the regular chat adopts the rage against the machine attitude. Don't tell me what to do. Isn't that the sentence they say in their song? Something like this. FBI investigating car bomb explosion at Niagara Falls Bridge as a terrorist attack. But it turned out that it was not a terrorist attack. Niagara Falls checkpoint explosion was downgraded to reckless driver. Reuters is now reporting that Wednesday's explosion at the Canada-US border checkpoint at Niagara Falls was likely caused by a reckless driver and not terrorism. So there you go. Not much. People got excited for no reason. Robert Spencer was saying, Iranian passport reportedly found near car that exploded at US-Canada border. And Gab.com was saying, the old passports are explosion-resistant trick. And it's funny because Robert Spencer is handle on Twitter is Jihad Watch. And so his job is to find Muslim terrorists everywhere. Maybe his threshold was too sensitive on this one. End of the line, Joel says, apart from Rumble, do you have a third streaming platform that you might consider if Odyssey dies? I guess if that happens, I would consider anything. I think that we're not so far from the moment where we'll be able to stream from home. And I would really like this. I would really like if there was a whole suite of software that I can deploy on my servers. Because I have plenty of resources. Like, I could probably stream to you at a lesser delay than Odyssey. It's just a matter of having the suite of software, and I could go on my own website and have a stream there. But I don't want it to be like cozy.tv and these things. I don't want to be stuck with other streamers than myself. I want a suite of software that people will find fun to be on. So that's generally the problem, because there exist peer-to-peer solutions for streaming, technically, but they aren't super comfortable. They don't lead to good looks. And the graphical aspect is important. People won't connect to a chat that is disgusting visually. And so all of these, I hope that if Odyssey was to fall, I would hope that a new generation of software then would have been developed for people to self-stream, self-host their stream, because I have a powerful optics fiber connection, 1 Gbps upload line straight from my home, directly through the photonics of the backbones of the internet. Basically, less than 5 milliseconds latency. And the more the world heads toward fiber optics, the more it will be trivial to self-host a stream. Now, there's the question of edge servers, and you want servers to be present across the world. I hope that I could resolve this. John Drake says it has to be for the lazy to work. Okay. Learning Better says Javier Millet appeared at WEF to make a speech condemning the criminal fraud that is central banking, and he hasn't been invited back since. Yeah, that's why I think that Javier Millet you don't want to take the fact that he was linked with these globalist organizations and WEF and that kind of stuff. You don't want to take all of this and hold it against him forever. Because it can be, it could be that at some point a messiah would come, a kind of enlightened asshole who decides to fraud the system a little bit the way I did to Jeff Epstein. Like, I got Jeff Epstein to send me money, and I'm super proud of this. But I also didn't let this money influence me in the direction that I was taking. And eventually, I came to take a direction that was very much anti-globalism and anti-basically everything that Jeff Epstein was. So you have to leave space for contrarian minds to make it into these systems and fuck them in the ass. And that's what I don't like about the knee-jerk reaction against Javier Milei by the strong, the hard right, let's say, who are like, oh, you've been on the WEF, therefore you're canceled. John Drake says he's crazy enough to be real. Exactly. And am I not crazy enough to have asked Jeff Epstein to send me $25,000? I'm not. I am. That is what I mean. I am. So yes, let the people show their art. And the art of inserting a long stick into someone's ass so that they have ass pain going forward as they walk publicly, that is something we must respect. I'm not saying Javier Milei is certainly this kind of Don Quixote, but he could be. And so let him be. Ty Odyssey sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I'm sure it was painful when those women left you and took your kids, but in hindsight, do you partly feel relieved because this has allowed you to have more children overall and with more females? Partly relieved, but not happy about it at all. It's relieved. Like any good thing that happens in your life, it can compensate for the bad things in the past, but it doesn't compensate the evil that was done to me. It doesn't compensate the fact that these women were evil, the fact that they had a system ready to listen to their false allegations and believe them. That is all still standing, and it is still something that we must fix. Now, have I healed from these injuries? Yes. But it's not because you heal from the injury that the person who injured you is forgiven. There will never be forgiving for these women. They will go to hell if hell exists. And it's relieved is a tough word to use in these contexts. Like, if I try to kill you with a knife and eventually you heal, are you relieved that you ended up healing and having all those beautiful moments in life? Well, yes, but this healing has nothing to do with the initial act of aggression. This doesn't lead to a forgiving of any kind for what was done. That's how I see it. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, before the end of the year, could you review your predictions from last year? It might be worth a shot segment on your show. I don't even remember what were my predictions. That could be an interesting activity to do. Was it a thumbnail that I made? Would it be identified as such? Is there a special show in which maybe it was the Christmas show? I'll have to browse back and see what I've done then. We are in November, so it should be about 11 months ago. What did I do in the Christmas period 11 months ago? Okay, lobster laced, belly wrapped ribeye. Oh my God. That was crazy. I'm trying to show it to you on the screen. Happy New Year. Lobster-laced ribeye. Lobster-laced belly-wrapped ribeye. My God. I had bought a $200 and more ribeye piece, full ribeye of the beef. I had inserted a lobster in it. I had wrapped the whole thing in the belly of a pork. Oh my God, that was insane. That was absolutely insane. I cannot believe that I've done this. The pork belly was good. The pork belly had integrated some beef flavor, some of the truffle sauce flavor that I've put on it, some of the lobster that was stuffed into the whole thing. It was the best pork belly I've tasted. But of course, you know, you have a lobster dripping its taste into the pork belly. Of course, it's going to be good. So you say you think that my predictions were stated on the Happy New Year episode. Something about your Bitcoin funds that will bonus. It's going to be very slow. I don't expect them to become liberal again, but I think we're going to slowly enter that in 2023. Doubting Thomas says, JF, Bitcoin will really opened in 2015, 2016. How it becomes very hard to argue that we are living in a free society. And they also self-destroy by doing this. They destroy the prestige of their institutions like YouTube. So I think that the leftists are bound to realize that their authoritarianism doesn't work, that we are developing parallel systems precisely to be able to counteract their future actions. And therefore, I expect 2023 for the leftists to open a blind spot, the same kind of blind spot that opened in 2015, 2016, kind of being complacent in their position in society, but not...
Am I not describing what we saw with the Israelis this year? I mean, there I am telling you, they're going to get loose. They're going to have a blind spot. They're going to go overboard. They're going to overdo it. Is that not the description of what the Israelis have been doing for 6 months? Of what the leftists have been doing with their pursuit of crypto, with their overly done prosecutions of Trump? You ask me to evaluate my predictions. I will give a 100% on this one. By the way, I've predicted all sorts of other things across the years that came to be. I've predicted the wave of censorship that would come hard. I've predicted the release of it. I've predicted now here the abusive behavior of the left as they get too confident.
Being as hard and intense as they used to be. And so this will open up for an exciting, probably return of a Trump-like cycle. The Trump-like...
And that would be nice if that can happen. Now, I can say to you that I'm truly seeing the Trump cycle, but we're certainly seeing a Trump-like cycle in the old Elon Musk stuff. So Elon Musk has risen as the new Trumpian figure that cancel culture has turned toward trying to shut down. And he is the new target now. He is the guy who companies don't want to be associated with. He is the guy against which they will pull false allegations. He is the new Trump from the new Trump-like cycle. Now, Trump himself may also be part of that cycle that we will know in 2024.
Cycle will not start in 2023.
Well, there there it is. I'm saying it won't exactly start in 2023.
I think it's going to start around the election 2024, the full Bitcoin bull run 2025. But what we will see is the opening of the blind spot of the place of complacency for the leftist, kind of like in 2015. They will recommit the same error as 2015, which is to think, okay, let's go back to the free market of IDs. Let's go back to engaging with...
And see, that's what they're doing on Twitter. They are overly aggressive about their position, but they are, you know, again, engaging freely. And I have people replying to me right now that would have never replied to me 2-3 years ago. So they are becoming complacent. They think they can win on the free market of Elon Musk. They can't. Garfield says, Jeff, what could be your best argument for or against raising children in a bilingual environment with the intention that they become bilinguals? Thank you. I'm trying to clear my voice, but I'm not being successful. I think it's a good question. The pros, of course, are that if you are in a family that has French and English components to it, you're gonna have to do it. So it's not so much that you need a good argument. Sometimes it's a necessity. For example, my new girlfriend doesn't speak French. And so there's going to have to be both French and English at home, and that's fine. So sometimes it's just a pure necessity. As far as the argument, if it's not a necessity for you, the arguments are, of course, that it expands the mind. It gives access to someone to potential into various countries and various populations for dating, for employment. Of course, the question is very different if your main language is English. Because from the perspective of your main language being French, of course, getting toward English gives a lot of opportunities. If your main language is English, getting French as a second language or any other language for that matter doesn't really open much possibilities, because the reality is in international environments, it's going to be English. So if you are looking at the bilingual question from the side of French, it's easier. It's good to have bilingualism early in life. Now, there are disadvantages. For example, someone who has been raised very well in English will come to associate less with his ethnicity. Let's say you're a Quebecois. Will come to be less feeling like he's part of a whole of the Quebec people. And you could argue that this is my case because I had access to a level of English that was sufficient to make a living in this language. It has detached me from my homeland to a certain degree. So, but that is okay. That is fine. But it's the pros and the cons that you do have to take into account. We have Lauren Chen and Keith Woods that are going after Gad Saad. People have noted that Gad Saad, you know, is very anti-identitarianism, except lately somehow he's been a little more ethnic in his arguments, and he even brought forward a tweet by someone else who was basically claiming Jewish supremacy. Keith Woods says, after spending weeks complaining about insufficient philo-Semitism in the West, Gad Saad is now promoting explicit Jewish supremacy. Gad Saad was saying, I only read the first few tweets in the thread, but thought it worth a share. And the guy was saying, I'm going to post, then delete this thread. I'm not here for long, so I have last things to say. And one of them is this. I am genuinely and increasingly of the view Jews are just simply better people than almost all other cultures. Oh my God, Gad. How would you have shared that tweet if it was me saying this and if I was saying it about white people? I mean, the case could be made. Like, I am genuinely and increasingly of the view that white people are just simply better people than almost all other cultures. That doesn't sound like, that doesn't sound totally off track, does it? Does it? Or let's reformulate the sentence. I am genuinely and increasingly of the view that Christians are just simply better people than almost all other cultures. But God, of course, is not any of these kinds of supremacism. In fact, he's been criticizing identitarianism as a whole, claiming, oh no, it's wrong when we do this, but it's not wrong when Gad Saad does it. And Lauren Chen went after another apparent contradiction, perhaps less solid, this one. She was saying, well then, that there was an initial tweet by Gad Saad saying, I truly wonder how it's not illegal when people with whom you disagree on Twitter start tagging one's employer as a means of attempting to intimidate you / fire you. A free society thrives on disagreements among competing IDs. I point to the racism of anti-white hate. Cancel him. The reflex of most humans is to eliminate one's ideological opponents in any possible way. Cancel culture is simply a modern-day manifestation of this deeply rooted dark instinct. People who engage in such criminal behavior should be criminally charged. Okay, so a strong stance against people who get others fired by tweeting at their employers. But recently, Gad has tweeted at an employer with the intent of getting someone fired. That someone was Ibrahim R. Mosalam, who stated on an October 7th Facebook post, the massacre in Israel that left 1,400 people dead, women raped, and babies burned alive was resistance. He had stated on Facebook, for all my friends here in Facebook land, with questions / thoughts / assumptions / critique about what's transpiring in Palestine currently in response to the Zionist occupation, please work on expanding your media literacy. Know that mass media here in America is heavily politicized and skewed to show a non-occupying narrative of Palestine. This is a resistance by brave people who have endured decades of occupation, oppression, humiliation, apartheid, and straight-up murder. This was not an unprovoked attack, but a response to this past year's attack by the Zionist regime. Don't take my word. Do your due diligence in acquiring your information. Here is a non-Palestinian site with the facts. The current situation tab has more accurate information than what's on the mass media. Well, okay, it does seem that Gad Saad calling the employer of this guy is cancel culture, because this is a political opinion. This guy isn't saying, I would join the resistance of Palestine. This guy isn't saying, I will bomb a plane myself or something like this. He's saying, I have my own political view about the events that are happening. And I think it's fair to say that here Gad Saad is calling for the canceling of someone based on their political views. Or what is it? Because if you don't allow this to be the case, here's the problem. Now suddenly all Arabs who work for airlines must completely shut up about politics. Now that would be a very sad state of affairs, and it would be actually a racist society that does this. We cannot say, well, because you're an Arab and you happen to have this particular position on the Palestinian thing, and you work for a hairline, you can't express your political view. That is unacceptable. So I would side here with Lauren Chen in that she has spotted a true contradiction in the Gad Saad behavior. We have the Chances Sanchez bot on the regular chat. Yes, I have been classified the seventh worst extremist of Odyssey. He's currently quoting an article of the ADL or whatever, SPLC, whatever that is. I'm categorized, I'm the seventh. I'm the seventh wonder of Odyssey in terms of in terms of radicalizing people. Not so bad, you know, for a French guy with a French accent. Seventh on Odyssey. Dino Rogovic says, only seventh? Boy, am I slumming. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be number one, but do you really have to be number one always? Dino Lugovic says, one less pilot. Well done, Gad. Now you fly the fucking plane. yeah, that is true. He has deprived himself of a talented air, whatever. Was it a pilot or is it a, maybe he's just a air person of some kind? I don't know. But Gad was replying to Lauren Chen. My girl, the Lauren Chen is having her sassy Candace moment. Let me try to help you. If a person takes a position about anything that does not involve the safety of those under their care, then to tag their employer would be wrong. I've repeatedly made that point. Well, see, the devil is in the details, Gad. The devil is in the details because the problem is most people contacting employers trying to report white people for cancel culture of any purpose consider that their safety is endangered around these people. When the blue-haired feminist calls these companies and tries to get someone like me canceled, they are saying this person is dangerous. They are saying his ideas are dangerous. His ideas are aggression. His ideas are indicative of an intent to hate. And therefore, him serving my sandwich would be a problem. So the security argument, the problem that is that everyone always has its own peculiarities in how they evaluate security. Now, you as a Jew find that it's a security issue because someone of an ethnicity that is opposed to you in a war happens to be serving your food on a plane or driving the plane. That's your conception, but it's a racist conception. And ultimately, an air pilot in a liberal society is entitled to have an opinion about what's happening in Israel. He's not saying, I'm going to drive a plane into Israel and I'm going to kill all of my customers on the plane. He's saying, I have an opinion on the Israeli conflict. And if you can't allow this in a liberal society, in the society that we have, then we don't have a liberal society. Go away, says JF, but you're forgetting about 9/11. Doesn't matter how much 9/11s would happen in a row. It would still be a racist deprivation of liberty to speak if you are to say because there was one 9/11 or because there was 10 9/11s, suddenly Arab pilots cannot have political opinions anymore. And that is what Gad Saad is calling for. If a surgeon or airline pilot takes genocidal positions against Group X, many of whom might be under their care, then this requires attention. Oh yeah, well, Gad, how about we fire all the doctors, all the Jewish doctors who have rooted for Israel? I mean, they could end up having Arab patients. And definitely, if you side with Israel at this point, you are siding with a genocide by the definition of the UN. So why don't we, Gad, fire all Jewish doctors who have supported Israeli actions in this conflict, which are definitely, by objective definition, genocidal, in that they push people and kill people from their places of living, and these people are children and civilians. Of course, Gad won't be for firing the Jewish doctors, and so he's really deploying a specific argument. Hey, Rick Timebot, if you keep spamming my chat, I'm going to ban you forever. Last warning, Rick. Don't you play with me, Rick Sanchez. Don't you play with me. I'm just waiting for the next. I'm just waiting for your next comment. He's still doing it. This man never learns. I'm banning you, Rick Butt. He says, no. Ah, see? See, when you start threatening, he regrets, and suddenly he's not. Should we ban him? Yeah, let's ban him. Let's ban the Rick Butt. He's spamming with videos, and yes, if you can do that, Ariel, I would appreciate. Similarly, if a babysitter posts clips stating that he is a pedophile, it would be proper to tag his babysitting agency. See the drifting, the logical drifting of Gad here? Because this man has not indicated that he was going to commit a genocide. This man has merely taken a position on a Middle Eastern conflict. Whether you're on one side of this conflict or the other, there are acts of violence that were committed by both sides. And there are deeply unjust acts of violence that were committed on both sides. So if you're going to take the siding onto one side of this conflict and say that's a form of terrorism, that's a form of call for genocide, you're going to have to take both sides, and you're going to have to end up firing all of the babysitters who are Jewish and who may eventually keep a baby that is not Jewish, that could be Muslim or that could be Arab. He adds, do you follow the Lauren Chen, or should I have typed slower for you? Also retweeted for maximal exposure. Well, this jump that you do, Gad Saad, from taking a political position to, well, it puts their employer at risk because they have the care of people under their care is at risk. To, it's like a babysitter who says they're a pedophile. That's a very large logical jump that you've done. From an Arab who just happens to have a conception that the actions that happened on October 7th were replies to a previous state of affair. They were a response to already existing violence. And they definitely were. They definitely were. The Hamas people who have organized this attack certainly had, whether they were right or wrong about some of them, they certainly had their reasons. They certainly thought that their attack was justified based on previous aggression. Following investigations by Tether, OKX, and the U.S. Department of Justice, Tether voluntarily freezes $225 million in stolen USDT linked to international crime syndicate. Ladies and gentlemen, the future of crypto is to be intimidated by the state and to be put under control by the state. They have given them in these smart contracts ways to ban money. And now USDT is in the banning group because we all know what's happening. the American government is about to go at stable coins and they're testing them. They're sending them a list of wallets and they say, those are Hamas terrorist wallets. Please ban. And eventually, I mean, you could have people who are not from Hamas and people who are not from international crime syndicates. They will get their wallet blocked as part of this whole, you know, it's just the government sending lists. Just the same way they were sending lists to Twitter. See? And we have here a Twitter files happening in the crypto world. Because the government was censoring speech on Twitter by sending lists and saying, hey, maybe I think you should check it out. Like, passive-aggressively, like, you know, maybe it violates your rules. I don't know. I don't know. It's your rules. I don't know. And so they were asking for violations of the First Amendment that would be totally done by the executive branch of the corporate world of big tech. You have the same thing happening here, but under a much bigger extortionist approach, which is that they're taking people like CZ. They're showing, hey, look, we can take CZ, we can put him in jail, we can force him to sign papers, giving us $4 billion. Do you want that kind of trouble with us? Well, you better listen to us when we tell you that this wallet is an Iranian wallet, or it's a Hamas wallet, or it's a international crime syndicate wallet. And ultimately, what you have here is the same thing. It's censorship. It's monetary censorship rising. But there won't ever be anyone to repair what is being done here. In the sense that Elon came in and he brought us back on Twitter. So, okay, our First Amendment rights were affected for a year or two. He has brought back most of us, not bad. And it was repairable in the sense that we were able to recover our accounts and start rebuilding them. This money is being made to disappear by the American government. And there's no due process. There's no, you know, the owners of these wallets don't get their day in court. It is absolute governmental censorship of basically what is speech, because money is speech. Money doesn't have the value of the paper that it's printed on, nor the metallic content of the token, nor the virtual bits on a blockchain, certainly not this. So basically, money is a signal. It's a social signal, and the government has decided there are some of these signals that we can put you in jail for. John Drake says, this isn't the first time they've confiscated stablecoins. I know. But I thought that USDT was different. I thought I had been told that USDT had a history of not siding with the government on this. But look, there you go. They've done it now. So there will be no place to escape for funds of people who are pursued by the government. And that's too bad. DK Shadow says, yep, no due process, just like civil forfeiture. Yeah, and most of these people aren't even inside the US, probably. So my guess is, so they couldn't get due process. It's like they would be forced to travel to the US and subject themselves to imprisonment to get their voices heard in the US. That's nonsense. And this is where the international nature of the blockchain comes in contradiction with the concept of local jurisdiction. Something that I own should not be possible to be taken from me if I stand outside of the US boundaries. The US government couldn't possibly come and take something physical from me, but they can take speech. And they're taking it now. They take blockchain speech. And you have to grant, at least in principle, you have to grant a positive point to the argument by Richard Hart that blockchains are speech. It's an argument I've been mentioning before, and Richard Hart has decided to go with this argument in court in his whole quest in defending against the SEC. And I fail to, although I know that the courts will never respect this, because the courts are going to say, well, okay, maybe the blockchain is speech, but you guys are using it as money, so it's money. That is it. But in principle, and if you ask me honestly, do I think that blockchains are speech? I think that's all they are. I mean, they can't be anything else. They are per mathematics, social signal that people have decided to trust. And they're per information out there that are just hosted by people on hard drives. And it's a serious problem that the actions that you could do on a hard drive have been made illegal by the US. That the US has decided there are certain bits that you can't move in certain ways. And those are not destructive bits. Those are not bits that will fuck up your computer. Those are not bits that impede onto your independent existence. But those bits are believed enough to be money, that they are money, and therefore we can steal it from you like it was money. So we're going to have to be careful with these Tether, these smart contract-based ERC-20s that have central controls on the minting and burning functions. Perhaps one day there will be stable coins that rise that do not have these central controls. But clearly the developers of these tokens have given themselves the tool to arbitrarily take money from you, and we should. And there's another problem with all this. And this was brought by someone who knows crypto to me, someone who knows a lot about crypto. And the problem is, here Tether is making $225 million disappear from their liabilities. This is grave, because actually Tether is happy when it does this. Because you know what this means? It means there's $225 million that's now in their bank account that they don't have to reimburse to anyone, that no one will ever claim to them, that is not a liability for them anymore. So they literally made this USDT disappear from the blockchain, but they get to pocket it. Yes, DK Shadow. They get to pocket it as long as they don't say it that way. So what they will say is, oh, well, we maintain liquidity reserves. We have liquidity reserves. We will just maintain the liquidity reserve of this $225 million. And it's just a $225 million that no one will ever come to withdraw from us. So you suddenly have in your balance sheet plus $225 million. That is scandalous. That is the worst kind of thievery. And it's happening on the blockchain right now. We have people trying to guess the market events on crypto. Last time we had a major settlement was with Arthur Hayes in May 2020. Interesting what the price did after this. So apparently in 2020, there was this BitMEX CEO sentenced to 2 years of probation, pleading guilty to one count of violating the Bank Secrecy Act in February, and faced a sentence of up to 12 months in prison. And I don't know if this is a joke. Is this a joke? The idea that this event could have caused a bull run. And now we have CZ, who's been paying a settlement of $4 billion who's been detained in jail. DK Shadow says CZ died for our bull market. Oh, yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, certainly. I think that the fact that we will be in a post-CZ world will help the bull run. Because ultimately, people, you know, as long as CZ was there, being this kind of independent cowboy of the BTC world, the institutional people would look at the market and say, oh, what's up with this guy? We don't control him, you know? But now that he's been neutralized, then you'll realize that really you can attack single individuals in the Bitcoin market. It's not going to change the market fundamentally. Fundamentally, we're still headed toward a bull run. And this will put people in a very bullish mood. So yes, I would agree with DK Shadow that if anything, these are the sacrificial goats needed to juice the bull runs of Bitcoin with some blood, some fresh blood. Go Away says, should I rent a house that is not connected to the sewer edge and water lines? It has a septic system and a large water tank. It is connected to the power lines, though. I have no experience with these systems. So nervous about dysentery. There is no problem. There is no problem with a well set up well and a well set up sanitation system, however it's called. The thing you have to take into account is that the water tank will be to be emptied, will have to be emptied, and the more you use it, and you have to take into account whether it goes directly in the tank or whether there is an epuration field. So if you have an epuration field, it's probably going to take a long time before it fills with matter. And then you're going to have to pay the fee of, I don't know, hundreds of dollars to clean that tank, maybe up to 1,000. I don't know what are the prices. So just take into account this expense. As far as wells, they are extremely good. There is no fear to be had. Now, you can have a bad luck of a contamination case of the underground waters, but that's a luck you should be able to live with. And it's not, you know, you can test the water. If it's good at the moment of the test, you can be relatively confident that you're going to be safe. Here is another person that we will ban right here. Mr. Tizo, bye-bye. We are being targeted by spammers. They are unhappy with the success of Odyssey. Master Slave says, JF has the... So yes, for the sanitation tank, it's just going to be an extra cost. For the well, it's going to be... just water that you have to test. And if you test it, it can be very clean. It can be even safer than certain city waters. So it's all a matter of location and quality of the well. And if it's a sealed well, it's particularly safe in the sense that you're draining the water through a tube that is totally sealed from any of the local soil. And typically that's what it will be, I think, but at this time it's the regular well at this moment. Ayan says, JF, your accent is so cute. I hope my wife speaks like you. I hope your wife speaks to me. I wanted to make a fucking your wife joke, but it didn't come. I was looking for the way to express it, but it didn't come because your wife, it's not your wife yet. You are dreaming of a future wife, and that totally threw me off. Like, I wanted to say something like, I've talked to your wife with that accent yesterday. But I was like, no, you still don't have this wife. JF, no, this one I read. Master Slave says, JF has the psychology of someone that will get burned by BTC in the long run. How do you want me to get burned by BTC? BTC has allowed me to have my current life, current lifestyle. BTC has always been hyper profitable for me. How do you want me to be burned? Maybe BTC could fall, but all that would happen then is I would have all sorts of dreams of having even more money and even more money. And these dreams, I would have to put them aside and I would have to say, ah, you know, Bitcoin paid my house and my car, but it didn't pay my yacht. Would that be a burned JF? I don't know about you, but personally, I would still be, I'd still be very happy. Like, I could lose all of my Bitcoin right now and still be a very happy man. Villains Through Modern Highs says, JF, how should a man prepare his affairs before initiating a divorce? Well, you should master the art of unseizability. And the art of unseizability is, you don't have a job where you receive stable amounts of money that your ex could easily collect. You don't have amounts of money in a bank account. You are keeping your bank account very low and just for paying the running expenses. You have sources of income that your wife doesn't know about. And you have bitcoins. You have wallets on the blockchain that woman and any of your exes or your current wife do not know about. And another thing to be prepared for divorce is to be not in a situation where false allegations can even be pulled against you. Now, that's very hard, but you don't want to give real allegations to your wife. Like, for example, your wife will bombard you potentially with dozens of false allegations. You don't want to give her one audio recording where you're kind of angry and kind of verbally rough. And she's going to try to grab this. She's going to try to get you there. So you have to be an angel. An angel at all times, as if from the moment you think you're headed for a divorce, consider that each second of your life from there is under recording and will be shown to a judge. You don't want to give them the slightly dismissive attitude of Steven Crowder with his wife, you know? Even the slightly dismissive attitude will be held against you. So you want to be recording yourself so that you can catch her in her attempts to mess you up. You can try to catch her trying to get you angry, and that will give you some recordings against her. But you want to be perfect and irreproachable about your behavior at all times during that moment. ASDF says, and most importantly, you must be ready to take 2 to 3 days to sanitize your house after pointing to some kind of video alibi. Yes, the sanitizing of the home, the electronic alibis of all kind. You will need to know where you are at all times, because as my own story has shown, you know, people are so hateful of men. They want us to be murderers, and that's what they did with me. I have the case of Mama JF leaving me voluntarily, and They wanted so hard me to be a murderer that they started paranoying. So having that much proof that the voluntary departure of Mama JF actually happened was very essential, if you will. And you might need this, especially if there is some sort of public attention directed at you. never forget your alibis, your logs, your tracking of all kind. Shamrock Shake says, did they find Mama JF? Nope, Mama JF is too furtive. She has beaten the feds of Canada. She has not been found yet. She has given no sign of life. She is considered a mystery, an absolute disappearance mystery of Canada. The best policeman on these cases couldn't track her successfully. You have to be proud to a certain extent that in 2023, in a world of technology and tracking, Mama JF has found a way to be untraceable. That is fascinating. With all the networks of homeless people who could have seen her, the partygoers, the rave dancers, the people who are drugged up, the people who aren't drugged up, not a single person has reported seeing Mama JF up to now after June 19th. June 19th. So that is the current state of the investigation. Vadet says, Canada is a big place. You can hide if you want. You can, but it's very hard to survive long term without some degree of contact with civilization. And that contact, I would expect, would leave traces. You know, there would be some kind of grocery store cashier who says, oh yeah, I saw this girl. So it's been 5 months that no trace of her has been found. Master Slave says, you just know the Maple FBI is watching and building the case file right now. They certainly have been checking my social media, but it's not going to help in this case because I just didn't. I'm not involved in the disappearance of Mama JF in any way other than having dropped her off at the gas station. So that is the extent of my involvement. Spoiler alert, Cornel West plans a major 2024 push in swing state Michigan. While he has little chance of winning the 2024 election, independent presidential candidate Cornel West has the potential to affect the outcome of what's expected to be a close contest between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. Oh, so I like the idea that this guy, as a far-left member of the Democrat Party, could mess up the plans for the Democrats. You know, it could be very meaningful if a couple of weirdos like this, they start attracting votes and they start dividing the votes a little bit like RFK. Valet says, the RCMP have knowledge she has been seen since JF dropped her off. I imagine after that they have no leads and there are many such cases. Yeah, exactly. They have a sighting of hers 2 days after I dropped her off. But that is 2 days, but since there wasn't much. Jones says, JF appearances on Masterson and Crucible during that time was king shit. Oh yeah, it's not often that you will get a streaming personality like me having the opportunity to comment on an affair of the personal sphere that interests so many people. It's very rare that the events of a streamer's life will be intense enough that they basically constitute also a national disappearance mystery. But that was the unique position in which I found myself. I kind of feel like I attract these situations. There must be a couple of behaviors I could change to attract less troublesome people. Bajan's cold boom is here to stay. News of record installations of so-called renewable energy electric generation in China may have kindled the hopes of those supporting the green agenda and hostile to fossil fuels. However, China is in no position to give up hydrocarbons, particularly coal. That's a point that was made to Greta many times. Which is, even if all of Europe was to shut down, that just at the current level of production of China and India, that would be meaningless, basically. If you can't change these countries, you don't have a solution to CO2 levels in the atmosphere. Trust your gut. Tucker Carlson warns of chaos, ignoring your instincts during history-changing events. Always trust your gut. If you feel like they're lying to you, they are. That's exactly what leads Tucker Carlson to maybe be sliding more toward conspiratorial territory than I would. Because when Tucker Carlson talks about extraterrestrials and that kind of stuff, I think he goes a little more far than is warranted by the evidence and by the truth. I think he's letting himself be cradled down an interesting narrative, but ultimately something that is deeply misleading. And you have to be careful, Tucker, because if you always trust your gut like this, the manipulators eventually are going to show up to elicit reactions of your gut like this. So you have to trust more than your gut. You need to have a methodological approach. You need to know, how do I establish that something is true? And you need to not be giving these intentions, attributing intentions to everyone. Like, oh yeah, the government is hiding these extraterrestrials. You have to ask yourself, do I have evidence that the government is doing this? Do I have evidence that the government is doing that? And the gut is not enough. As a last news item, there is a description of anarcho-capitalism. Central to the idea is that society does not require an entrenched entity of legalized compulsion and coercion called the state in order to enjoy the enforcement of property rights, contracts, defense, and commercial society in general. The fusing of the terms anarchism and capitalism is not a plan for the social order, but rather a prediction of what would happen in a civilized community in the absence of the state. A couple of myths. Interesting description. They say it is not right-wing. The anarcho part has nothing to do with Antifa or chaos. Not everyone who proclaims himself to be an anarcho-capitalist speaks for the school of thought. Interesting statements, indeed. And I believe that I am kind of an anarcho-capitalist, although I do not like the name because of all these misconceptions about the label, but I think that technically I qualify as an anarcho-capitalist in the sense that I believe that the minimal principles of property and free decision-making are sufficient to establish most of advanced civilization and most of what's needed for an advanced civilization. And in fact, I believe that applying more than this, forcing more onto society than this, decivilizes it and parasitizes it progressively. Big Tech Exodus says, go away, was saying, Jeff, have you covered the anti-white terror attack in France that led to the death of a 16-year-old boy in Crépol? I haven't, because I have not seen that news item. Far-right fans, controversy after a French teen killed at a village party. The killing of a teenager by unknown attackers during a village dance party has sparked shock and political controversy in France, with the far-right on Tuesday branding the assault as anti-white racism. Okay, I'll be reading about it. The big problem with the criminal coverage of France, and I see it already in this article, they have no details. They hide all of the details. The media is fully controlled in France. And I'm sure that I'm going to read through and still not know exactly the race of the person. There's all sorts of things they won't have revealed, intentionally so. Inchfoot sends a super chat. He says, JF's calm yet jovial dissection of the day's event is very relaxing. Well, that's what I hope it is. Bye-bye.